Welcome to the Philharmonic Radio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 10:06 Greenwich Mean Time. Today is December 30th. Well, today we've had a little bit of profit taking as we approach the tail end of the year, and particularly in something like the DAX, which fell in the last couple of sessions before Christmas and was down another 1% in here today. It's a bit overextended relative to its 200-day moving average, and really the advance that it put in during December to date really has been remarkably impressive. So if we see some of these markets pausing and consolidating for a little while and perhaps unwinding some of the overbought condition that developed over the last 6 weeks, that wouldn't be too surprising. Into the close, the Dow Jones finished down just a tad, about 0.14 of a percent. The S&P fairly similar, as was the Nasdaq. Brazil was up a little bit. Most of the indices in Europe were down in the region of about 1%. The FTSE was one of the better performers. It was only down about 0.4 of 1%. The Japanese yen has been really quite strong over the last couple of weeks, and that's having a negative effect on the Nikkei. The Nikkei was also weaker today by about 1%. Elsewhere in Asia, it's a pretty steady story. And Taiwan yesterday had a remarkably strong day on the bank sector, and the index remains one of the better performers in the last couple of months. The Asian markets, which have been the star performers this year, have all pretty much paused, and while they've firmed somewhat within their ranges over the last week or two, they are still really quite overextended relative to their 200-day moving averages, and this pause in consolidation of gains could perhaps have a little bit further to run. Given the fact that so many large cap developed markets spent a good part of 2010 ranging and are now pressuring the upper sides of their ranges or have broken upwards in the case of much of the Wall Street indices. The Nasdaq is testing its 2007 peak. It's a bit overextended right now, and again, that's another candidate for a bit of a pause in consolidation. But the Dow Jones is establishing itself above the 11,000 area, the S&P in the region of 1,250. And this is really good solid action. I've profiled a number of those US indices in here today, and the type of activity that's been put in is certainly not the what you would associate with a bear market, and certainly it looks like that this cyclical bull market for Wall Street remains very much intact, and 2011 is likely to be another good year to the upside. Monetary conditions remain extraordinarily accommodative in the USA, the Eurozone, the UK, and these economies aren't closed systems. The Probably the number one rule is that excess liquidity or liquidity will also always move to the better performing or higher yielding markets. And right now, Asia and Latin America constitute the better performers in terms of economics globally. It's where the really big story is situated, and that's the greatest urbanization in history. And that is the driving force behind global growth, and that's where the major bull market is occurring. And it was those markets led following the big crash in late 2008. They continue to be some of the best performers, and in terms of a leadership, that's also where we're seeing both the leadership in terms of growth, but also in terms of stock market performance. So Asia in particular is a prime candidate to be a leader in the next major bull market. And whereas Wall Street is in a cyclical bull market and has probably a strong likelihood of going back up to test its highs at some point over the next few years, much of Asia is in a secular bull market. Now, that's obviously going to be punctuated on occasion by recessions and probably quite severe pullbacks, but those pullbacks are likely to be buying opportunities, and that is the theme that is likely to dominate investor sentiment for a considerable period to come. Now, elsewhere in the markets today, we saw a little bit of profit taking in some of the precious metals, but not to any great extent. And the gold price is still above $1,400. Silver is still above $30. Palladium is knocking on the door at $800, and platinum is just above $1,750. So this has been another remarkable year for gold in particular, and if I'm not incorrect, I think this is the 10th consecutive year it's turned out a positive return. So the secular bull market in gold remains intact, where with 10 consecutive years to the upside, this is not a new story. And we're probably moving into the third psychological perception stage, which is really an acceptance and potential euphoria. And that could very well be tied into what's happening in the government bond markets. Government bond prices have rallied somewhat in the last couple of weeks, and that's following really quite a stiff decline in the latter half of November and much of December. So they're a bit oversold in the very short term, but they show all the characteristics of forming a major top. And government bond prices have been going up for the better part of 30 years, and counterwise, their yields have been falling. And given the safe haven status that was attributed to sovereign bonds during the credit crisis, it drove their yields to ridiculously low levels. And just as we would see at the top of any major bull market, supply exploded, with governments worldwide issuing as much as they could in order to fund the nationalization of such an incredible amount of private debt. And we see also in the corporate sector that the corporate sector are falling over themselves to issue debt at these levels and lock in what really are remarkably low lending rates or borrowing rates in here right now. So supply is exploding, and people are starting to ask the question what exactly they're getting when they buy into these bonds. And given the price action and the way the yield has rallied in here, it shows the kind of characteristics that we would associate with a major bottoming process in yields, a major top in prices. And it would also suggest that any significant rally in government bond prices can be considered a good shorting opportunity, and that's likely to be the case for a considerable period. With the topping out of government bonds, that is when we get down to the heart of the matter. It's due to the fact that governments are debasing their currencies. They are pursuing an inflationary path in an effort to try and dilute the amount of debt that they have taken on, and that's having a direct impact on the value and the purchasing power of currencies. And you can't simply go out and print gold. And that is helping to drive this secular bull market. And that point is increasingly being taken up by investors who are increasingly looking for a yield that they can rely on. And the dividend aristocrats have come into their own in the last 6 months in particular, where a large number of blue chips are now yielding considerably more than US treasuries. And some of those are leveraged to global growth, and they dominate their niches, and they have excellent potential to reflect the major expansion in the middle classes that's happening in much of Asia and Latin America. So blue chips are certainly an investment theme that are likely to gather an increasing cohort of investors over the coming years. US Treasuries remain, I think, a decidedly risky asset. And gold and the precious metals generally, as well as the gold shares, remain in a solid bull market. The last couple of days have been a very interesting period for the rare earth metal shares, and I'll post a number of those tomorrow. But a large number of them have broken upwards, and some of the better performers had become really quite overextended by the time They hit at least a short-term peak back in early November, some of them in October, but they've almost all held the majority of their gains and are now breaking upwards to more new high ground. So this really is taking on the characteristics of a significant bull run. And as I said, I'll post perhaps I've got a number of them in a section in my favorites. So I'll post a high-low filter tomorrow because there's so many of them are breaking to new highs. They'll probably be all included in that, and that way subscribers will have a list of the rare earth shares. Also tomorrow, I'll put all of the major stock markets in the world into a performance filter, and I'll rank them so that we can see in a single currency what have been the best performing markets this year, and perhaps look at what might perform next year. When we get back to what's been happening in the markets in here today, the industrial metal complex was really quite firm, and copper continues to hold above the $4 area. It was up nearly 6 cents in here today. It closed on the high of the day, or close enough to the high of the day. And the rest of the industrial metal complex was also really quite firm. And industrial metals, with the exception of tin and copper, have been reasonably moribund over the last year, but they are starting to push the upper sides of their ranges. And they do look like that they have further to go on the upside in the short to medium term. This has also been a remarkable period for the agricultural sector, and while they were all weaker in here today, the fact that we've seen so many agricultural prices breaking out of inflation-adjusted bases over the last few months would suggest that the inflationary theme that we've been talking about for more than a year is now starting to get some teeth. And we've already seen that a number of Asian and Latin American countries have begun to raise interest rates in an effort to combat inflation. It would appear then to be only a matter of time before some of that inflationary pressure starts to be felt in the USA and in Europe. And that's not going to be a major problem for stock markets in the short term, but as interest rates begin to rise, and it's probably not an unreasonable expectation that interest rates will rise at some point next year, then we know that we're probably at the most accommodative in terms of monetary policy that is possible right now. And we're still a long way from when an inverted yield curve will signal that we're coming close to the next recession, but we are beginning to turn the corner in terms of that, of just how accommodative that monetary policy can be. And if inflation does become a significant problem, and that could also be associated with surging oil prices, and oil has sustained the break above $80. It's been above $90 for much of December and closed out today in the region of $90. Oil could well be above $100 sometime next year, could potentially even be higher than that. And that will also start to affect inflationary measures. So that could easily be another theme that will start to motivate investors into next year. In the meantime, David was away today, but he'll be back tomorrow. And I would like to wish you all a happy and prosperous new year.